Welcome to The Plot Thickens, a digital audio series for the web constructed in the manner of old-time radio drama, a distinctive American form of entertainment. The Plot Thickens is written, directed, and produced by students in the Longwood College Honors English class. They also provide the voices. Some say the instructor made them do it. That's Michael Lunn, professor of English. Evidence on this point, however, remains inconclusive. And now it's time for the second program in our series, Alien University. On a blistering hot August day early in the new millennium, a team of intrepid young explorers set out from their native land in search of a better life. Back in the old world, oppressive authority figures had restricted the adventurers' activities. They had demanded burdensome service, and they were repeatedly irritating. So, armed primarily with their wits, but also with their good looks and knowledge of the contemporary music scene, the band of rebels borrowed some unattached vehicles. They gave each other high fives, made Italian driving gestures in the direction of the past, and slipped off into the night. They were confident they would soon arrive in a new world where they could achieve their dreams. Alas, due to technical difficulties, or perhaps bad navigation, they found their transports spinning out of control. They broke through some sort of time-space continuum. They crashed into Alien University. It was a strange new world, full of creatures they could never have imagined. Greebarks, Montags, and Zdars. And these odd beings all wanted something from the newcomers. Will our heroes and heroines be able to resist the control of aliens? Will they be able to establish their own identities? Will they learn how to find fast food at 3 a.m? Find out in episode 1.
Stardate 46838-21. It has been 22 days now since our squadron first arrived on this unfamiliar planet. Our university has been established and the students are continuing to undergo training. Much needed supply transports are scheduled to arrive tomorrow afternoon. Along with our rations of ramen noodles and toilet paper, they will be bringing with them something more sinister. The very same people we came here seeking autonomy from. They call this atrocity Family Weekend. There are mixed emotions among the chiefs concerning these parental inspections. Most are nervous at best. There has been a flurry of activity within the barracks. Posters put up for morale have been taken down. Unused food supplies have been unpacked and placed in prominent positions. Contraband has been hidden or consumed, mostly consumed. These actions are to be expected. However, as captain of the squadron, I can't help but noting a certain air of excitement among many of the chiefs. Some actually seem to be looking forward to the inspection. There has even been talk of several chiefs wishing to drop out and return home with their parents. I am hoping beyond hope that all these rumors are unfounded. It would be in complete violation of our mission statement. I am turning the matter over to Lieutenant Briggs for further investigation. I sense dangerous forces here at Quest. And he's the only man I can trust. This is Captain Weston, signing off.
Alright, man. As you all know, we have a serious situation developing in the shower.
Not as serious as the situation Humphrey left in the toilet.
No, of course not. Nothing could possibly be as serious as the situation Humphrey left in the toilet. Nonetheless, we must deal with this issue immediately before more lives are lost. Something has been growing in that shower for nearly a month now. It seems harmless at first. That was until Private Cooper was devoured whole.
Yo, it's always that black man that goes first.
Cooper was naked. The creature probably just needed a big meal.
Dear God, what a terrible way to go.
Besides, this isn't some fabricated college radio show. This is real life. case. Someone has to go in there and kill that thing before it gets any bigger.
Can't we just go across the hall and use their shower?
Think we're the only platoon facing this problem, Private? Every single bathroom on campus is home to a living, self-sufficient ecosystem. Now I tell you again, someone has to go in there and kill that thing. Lucas, since you've got the attitude problem, I'm volunteering you for this mission.
Kempler was in there last. Make him do it.
Son, give me any more attitude and you'll be taking care of the toilet, too.
The transport's coming tomorrow. Can't we just get someone's mom to do it?
What did you say, Private?
Well, my mom always cleaned our shower at home.
Just where exactly is this treasonous talk coming from, Private?
Sir, I don't know. Something's just got a hold of me.
Give me your gun, Private.
My gun, sir?
Your gun.
Sir, you can't! It's suicide!
Gargow!
Sir, are you okay?
Take your gun, Lucas. The shower creature's been neutralized. Now you're gonna take care of the situation Humphrey left in the toilet.
Yes, sir.
The rest of the platoon is dismissed!
That night, while his troops are out consuming the last of their contraband, Lieutenant Briggs sneaks into the barracks to inspect their belongings. He goes over each man's items quickly, deftly, moving silently in the dark room. He intentionally leaves Lucas's items until the last, going over these more carefully and with more purpose. He knows there's something here. There just has to be. As he is about to leave, he notices the mini-fridge next to Lucas's bed. He opens it slowly, squinting momentarily against the light. As his eyes adjust, they grow wide and he catches his breath. This must be it. Briggs quickly puts on surgical gloves and pulls a large flat object out of the fridge before stealing away into the night air. Good morning, Lieutenant. Do you have good news for me?
Not exactly, Captain, ma'am. Upon inspection of my troops' barracks last night, I believe I found the source of the problem.
Excellent, Lieutenant. Do the parents have some sort of mind control device?
No, ma'am.
Are they drugging our boys into submission?
No, ma'am.
Some form of hypnosis?
No, ma'am. It's much worse than we thought.
Well, what are they using?
Chocolate, ma'am.
Chocolate?
Chocolate. This was in the possession of one of my men.
Brownies? This is terrible. How can we let brownies get into our barracks?
I don't know, ma'am, but the effects seem to be quite severe. The private who owned these brownies was unwilling to follow orders yesterday. I fear he may be one of those wishing to return home. He's a good man. We can't afford to lose him.
We've got parents arriving in a matter of hours, and a good number of our boys are chocked to the gills. All they need is one little glimpse of Mommy and Daddy, and they'll go running home. We have to isolate the situation somehow. Any ideas?
Well, ma'am, the chocolate seems to be a reminder to the troops of all the things they gave up by coming here. If we could somehow supply our troops with chocolate here, or maybe even teach them how to make their own chocolate.
You must be delusional, Lieutenant. College kids making brownies?
We've already taught the troops to avoid drinking and date raping.
Yeah, and look at our success rate.
We could call it baking for autonomy.
Well, whatever it is, we need to do it fast. I'm calling an emergency meeting of all the RAs to go over this. Get me a recipe for brownies and round up the last of the eggs from the D-Hall. As soon as we're ready to move, I'll have all the troops report to the student union for mandatory luncheon. We'll give them brownies better than any of their mothers ever made.
Right away, ma'am.
Stardate 4683-24. Family weekend passed with more success than I had hoped for. The emergency chocolate luncheon at the student union went off without a hitch. The brownies themselves, however, were disastrous. Apparently, eggs must be cooked before consumption. Over a third of the troops came down with a severe case of food poisoning. Instead of satisfying the chocolate craving of our troops, we have destroyed it altogether. By the time parents started showing up, no one could even look at a plate of brownies without feeling ill. After the resulting recovery period, morale rose dramatically. The troops are no longer chocolate junkies dependent upon their parents for a fix and have begun exploring their own interests in a higher degree. Posters are being hung back up on walls, contraband is being used openly, and school supplies are once again being ignored. Things are back to normal here at Alien University. This is Captain Wesley signing off.